Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your pension is with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie and find out more.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Cabra's most famous son, Michael Gambon, has died at the age of 82. He was called the Great Gambon, and tributes have been pouring in all day since the announcement of his death. Michael D. Higgins, the president, described Gambon as one of the finest actors of his generation, offering condolences to his wife Anne, son Fergus, and wider family, and also to his fellow artists and many friends. Well, to discuss his life, we're joined now by Paul Whittington, film critic with the Irish Independent. And Paul, you're welcome to the programme. Gambon, he spent his early years in Dublin before the family emigrated to the UK.
He did. Well, you can tell, sir, he had this amazing ability to put on a soft Irish accent, and it must have been through his parents who were Irish, but he was here till he was six, and he retained a great affection for the Gay Theatre, where he got a start through dubious means. He sent a CV to Micheál MacLeamore about his great acting career, which was non-existent, and MacLeamore hired him. And he went on from there. A lot of people got their starts in the Gate. But yeah, he retained a great affection for Ireland. And I noticed that in some of the British obituaries, they're not really mentioning that much the fact that he was came from here, but he did.
It's funny how that goes, isn't it? He became famous then for TV roles in the 1980s. For example, Singing Detective.
Yeah. Well, he was a theatre actor first and foremost, and he did Shakespeare, he did Pinter, he did Beckett, and he was a great practical joker. Brian Cox released an autobiography last year, and he talked about how Gambon was always trying to make people laugh and everything. So we will assume that's due to his Irish roots. But The Singing Detective was a huge breakthrough for him. It was a very big television series at a time when people only watched, analog television. There was nothing to distract them. So that got him into film. He worked with Peter Greenaway. He was in Gosford Park. He got a lot of film work. He would have said himself he was always a character actor. He was very imposing, but his looks, would not have sent him in the direction of stardom. But he was in a huge number of films and extremely good and capable of playing kind of high and low posh people like kings and also servants.
And perhaps most memorably, would that be fair to say, he played Hogwarts headmaster Albus Dumbledore in the final six Harry Potter movies. We might actually have a listen, because here he is in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, about life and death.
I have to go back, haven't I?
Oh, that's up to you.
I have a choice.
Oh, yes. We're in King's Cross, you say? I think if you so desired, you'll be able to board a train.
And where would it take me?
On. Do not pity the dead, Harry. Pity the living. And above all those who live without love.
He really owned that role, didn't he, Paul?
Lovely voice, yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he took over, obviously, from Richard Harris, who had done the first two, and he found this seamless way of moving into the character in a way that was respectful to Harris and took it over. He was wonderful in it, and generations of children have grown up, with him as Dumbledore. He was excellent in that film.
I think it's really interesting. He once said he was essentially playing himself when he played Dumbledore.
Yeah, well, that has been said. I mean, he was quite an avuncular person, though, as I say. He had a sort of very mischievous sense of humour. And he did return. I saw him in the Gate in Crap's Last Tape about a decade ago. And I have this memory of him walking up. He walked by me up O'Connor Street, and he was mumbling his lines. He was rehearsing his lines. And another friend of mine remembers that, too. He was very attached to the Gate because it had given him a start.
So that's, you reckon that's where his heart was then, really?
Oh, well, I wouldn't necessarily say that, because he worked in National Theatre. He worked, he worked in various companies. He was friends with Peter O'Toole and all those people. So I'm sure he had, he had very deep roots in the British theatre. But
I don't mean specifically the Gate. I mean theatre.
Oh, absolutely it was, yeah. And he loved to act. He liked doing film. He was a very unpretentious actor. He just said, just do it. That's how to act, which was easy for someone like him and very difficult for most other people. But yeah, he loved the theatre.
In his later years then, he was in a really diverse range of movies, wasn't he? From Hail Caesar, the Coen Brothers movie, to Paddington 2?
Paddington 2, yes, indeed. And also in numerous Wes Anderson films as well. I mean, he was a very adaptable actor, and you could name loads of films. He's in Judy quite recently, that as a kind of this kind of wide boy London theatre manager. He had a great range, and he was terrific on the screen. His voice was the thing, I think.
Well, it's really good to talk to you, Paul, and to remember Michael Gambon, the great Gambon, as I mentioned at the start. This Paul Whittington, film critic with the Irish Independent. Thank you.